Campus FM presents My Pizza and Toffee Apples in the 1950s. Produced and presented by Patricia Salomone.
This program is dedicated to my mother, Anna, my inspiration, and to my alma mater, the University of Malta, from which, proudly in my mature age, I have recently graduated. My studies were in contemporary Mediterranean studies and Italian. The relationship between this and my story can be read between the lines. As one grows older, the memory of the past becomes acute, bringing back voices, sounds, smells, tastes of time gone by. Pizza and toffee apples, incompatible as they may seem, represent my life in the 1950s. I was the firstborn child of a very Italian mother and a very British Maltese father. In a Malta that had very much lost its Mediterranean identity. Mine is a domestic picture within a much wider context, that of a world that was to change forever. Many of the protagonists are gone, and with them are gone their ways, their traditions, and beliefs. I have written My Pizza and Toffee Apples in the 1950s, lest we forget. It is a story of my childhood, a childhood which spans the 50s decade. It was the decade after the tragedy of World War II. Yet, in those days, hardly anything was mentioned of that momentous event. It was as though people just wanted to put the atrocious facts behind them and look forward, somewhat light-heartedly, to the era which had begun with the baby boom year 1947, which saw the launch of Christian Dior's new look with the wasp waists and wide skirts. In those years, a broken, dilapidated Europe depended on Marshall aid. In those years, big chunks of care cheese reached the Maltese tables, while Rediffusion blurted out the happy-go-lucky programmes of Radio Muscatiri. Quiet evenings before the advent of television, my father listened to the BBC News, and my mother played Chopin on our piano. Her music drifted out through the open windows into the dark summer nights, lit up only here and there by the dim lights in the British military barracks opposite our home. I shall tell my story as though reading from a diary, chapter by chapter. My mother, Anna, is my inspiration, and my childhood friend Roy will be with me, as in fact he was, much of the time, especially in the earlier years, until he was sent to school in England. Come along with me. There will be those of you who lived my times and will remember, and those, I also hope, too young to remember, but who will take an interest because my story is real. It is spoken history, that which modern historians call oral history, and anthropologists consider part of collective memory. Others may, in fact, remember the same times in a different manner. They may have looked from another angle and reached different personal conclusions. Consequently, they may recount the same episodes very differently. Notwithstanding, or even more significantly, it is all part of a collective memory which will become the story of us all. A story worth writing, worth listening to, and worth recording. Although it tells not of kings and queens and mighty generals, this story tells of me and you, and of the characters of my childhood, many of whom are no more. It is my vision of the world, a world as seen by a little girl brought up by an Italian mother in British Malta, in a particular area of this Mediterranean island, then more British than Buckingham Palace. Ironically, this area had an Italian name, Quisisana, and it was adjacent to another British stronghold, this with a French name, Tignes. Both were then relatively new residential areas in Sliema, teeming with British service personnel families. I was the granddaughter of the Honourable Walter Luke Salomone, a Maltese British gentleman of the old school. My mother Anna was Italian, and like most Italians of her days, imbued with amor di patria. My schoolmates were Maltese, but not only were we not allowed to speak Maltese at school, but we were punished if we did so. Many of our playmates out on the Quisisana seafront were the sons and daughters of the British Army, Navy and Air Force personnel.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer true.
Those years, my childhood years, rolled by when the island, rather oblivious of its Maltese character, was divided into two ideological camps, one of which went so far as to clamour for integration with Britain. The other, which felt so strongly tied to its Latin origins, so Italian in its culture, traditions, religion, and even somewhat bigoted. I remember the big political meetings clamouring for integration, called by Mintoff on the dusty space in Quisisana, opposite the newly built apartment blocks. The Art Deco Aridou Chalet, having survived the war, was an architectural contrast in the background. Only recently, a new children's playground and garden have been inaugurated there, on the same dusty, stony space, where many a time I cut open my knees while playing cat or hide-and-seek with my childhood friends. It is the same space where the Luna Park used to be set up during the summer months, to the joy of us children. It was not much of a Luna Park, a rather rickety business, run by a gypsy-like family and their chimp, Cheetah. There was a merry-go-round for children, with little motorcycles and cars. Another merry-go-round with swings served for older children and adults. There was a gypsy caravan, with a small circus rotunda, in which the Gypsy family gave their shows. But what we enjoyed most were the bumping cars. Yes, it was such fun chasing and bumping into each other in the evenings. But it was in the morrow, in the morning, when we had most fun. As soon as our mothers allowed us out, we scrambled under the flooring of the bumping car's platform to collect the change that fell from people's pockets as they bumped around during their fun rides in the evenings. The more coins we found and the more rides we could afford once the Luna Park switched on its lights and carousel music in the evening.
Yet I am longing to share the light of beautiful Daisy Bear. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer true.
Much was happening that would have an impact on the future history of our island. But to a little girl, this is what it felt, smelt, and tasted like. In winter, it was the wind coming from the rough sea, a mixture of salty sea water, rusty barbed wire, and mother's arpège perfume. In spring, it was the taste of chewed stalks of hashish anglisa and chichri. In summer, oh, in summer, it was the salty days of the seaside and music from the chalet and the officer's mess and toffee apples out of Nanny Jean's basket.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer true. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet.
Nanny Jean, the water is hot, we would complain as the warm liquid flowing from the thermos flask did little to quench our thirst. It was little relief to the heat, the burning sun, the scorching rocks, and the salty, oh so salty seawater. It's good for you, was the standard reply, and there was no further complaint on our part. Lukewarm water on the Quisisana rocky beach at midday and toffee apples at tea time at the height of the Maltese summer were just a fact of life. They were just part of what, to us, was a normal childhood in Quis. Quis, being short for Quisisana. But in reality, was it so normal a childhood? Roy and I were a little boy and a little girl with absolutely nothing in common, growing up together, so close and interdependent, yet as distant and as different as could possibly be. Back home, Roy. Oh, Papa is here with your music teacher for the accordion. I would sit uncomfortably and listen. I wished I could relieve the pain as you struggled through those hated lessons. Clumsy and uncouth, those seven notes were the prelude to O Papa's favourite Viennese waltz, which meant nothing to you and meant little to me. You and I had a favourite game. How we looked forward to our game of cowboys and Indians. Up and down, starting at the opposite ends of the endless corridor, back to back, we would crawl. I was the cowboy, and you the Indian. I carried a gun, Roy Rogers style. You clutched your bow and arrows. You would shoot and I would shoot. And I would always win, because cowboys always won, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
back to the Black Hills, the Black Hills of Dakota, to the beautiful Indian country that I love.
Doris Day's voice came, at times clear, at times blurred, from the Red Effusion in Nana Jean's room. The Black Hills were the wall cupboard in your bedroom. One day, as we climbed up the shelves, the whole contraption came down with an enormous bang. This brought Nana Jean and Mena, your buxom cleaning lady, running towards the room, followed by all the mums in the flats. As they lifted the planks of wood, they found us there, safe and sound, each one of us small enough to fit in just between one shelf and the other. Not much damage was done, but of course the punishment was severe. No playing for a week, no cowboys and Indians, and no roller skating.
The Black Hills of Dakota, to the beautiful Indian country that I love.
Do let us go out to play in the yard. Not before 5 o'clock, it was forbidden. A sort of unwritten rule, there was an agreement amongst the young couples living in McIver Flats, sharing the common yard in a block of apartments just newly built in those post-war years. Young families, young Catholic couples, middle class, many children, little money, and much noise.
The Black Hills of Dakota, to the beautiful Indian country that I love. To the beautiful Indian country that I love.
Take me back to the Black Hills, to the beautiful Indian country that I love.
As we played football, boys against girls, my mother's voice floated out of the open windows, limpid, young, passionate, and sad.
Dio del cielo, se fossi una colomba, vorrei volar laggiù dove il mio amore, che inginocchiata San Giusto prega con l'animo mesto, fa che il mio amore torni, ma torni presto.
And the postman would come at 10 o'clock in the morning, delivering the letter with the beautiful handwriting to letterbox number 3C. Those letters came weekly from my nonna in Italy. For 45 long years, my mother, with duty and love, answered in her own stylish handwriting.
E che mai più la lascerò. Fummo felici uniti e ci han divisi, ci sorrideva il sole, il cielo e il mare. Noi lasciavamo il cantiere lieti del nostro lavoro, e il campanon ding dong ci faceva il coro.
The appetizing aroma of her cooking mingled with the musical notes of her voice and floated out of the window, invading the play yard where the girls played hopscotch and the boys kicked a ball.
Che tornerò. dille che non sarà più sola, e che mai più la lascerò. Tutte le sere m'addormento triste, e nei miei sogni piango e invoco te. Pure il mio vecchio ti sogna, pensa le pene sofferte, piange e nasconde il viso tra le coperte.
Vola, colomba bianca, vola.
Dio del cielo,
my small blonde Italian mother was my all. She was and is my inspiration. As I write, I refer to her as she, always with a capital S, with a sort of reverence and a love that breaks the barrier of time and of death. She played the piano and she loved to paint. Couples in those days had little cash to spare. One day, Dad encouraged her to enter a competition for a carnival poster. Remember, she drew the neoclassic columns of the Main Guard building and filled the space of Piazza San Giorgio, then Main Guard Square or Palace Square, with dancing figures in fancy dress costume. A harlequin, a cowboy, a senorita. There were paper trumpets, ribbons and ping-pong balls in the foreground. A masterpiece to our eyes. No price was won, but mother's artistic talent had her daughters mesmerized. And the atmosphere around our bedroom table, the green table, was magic as her hand swept across the paper. The memory still warms the heart. But already our time is up. Join me again down memory lane next week. Until then, goodbye.